Well, we're live. Good morning to the internet. If you're joining us this morning, you're welcome. Good to have you with us. Let's pray over the word this morning. Father, we thank you. We love you. And so look forward, Lord, to all you're going to speak to our hearts this morning through your word. We've prepared our hearts through worship, Lord, and I pray the seed of this word will really go deep into all our hearts, that we'll understand it, know it, believe it, and see it come to pass in our lives. So we thank you for this time with you, Lord, and in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So last week, I was sharing how I take my inspiration from a Barry Bennett teaching. And he had been speaking from Romans 15, verse 13, which says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." And he was talking about that verse saying that in believing, there is joy and peace. So conversely, if there's no joy and peace, there's an issue with our believing. And that was my message last week. The absence of joy and peace indicates a problem with our believing. And I said that that applies to other areas as well, that we can know God's word very, very well, but we need to believe it before we're going to see it actually come to pass. I spoke about how there are two pillars in life, two pillars on which our whole life is built. The foundation of our lives is our righteousness in Christ. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. That is the foundation. And then everything in life is built on that, especially these two pillars of truth. What we believe about God and what we believe about ourselves in Christ. Those are the two pillars on which everything in life is built. And if there's an issue in believing in him, what we're believing in either of those areas, it's going to cause weakness to the structure of our life that we're trying to build. And I looked at Samson, showed you the picture of him from my children's Bible with his hands on the pillars, pressing against them, and he pushed those pillars, and the whole thing fell down. A huge structure that had 3,000 people on the roof was only supported by these two pillars. And to me, that shows how our, we want to build massive, strong things, but it must be built on these two pillars of who we believe God is and who we believe we are. Those two things have to be there. Otherwise, we'll be like Samson and we'll be shoving on the pillars of our life. Right believing ensures that we don't break down what we're trying to build. Every one of us is trying to build. Every one of us wants to see God's word and God's kingdom come in our lives and to build our lives on that. So right believing about who God is and right believing about who we are is absolutely, excuse me, absolutely essential. I read a load of scriptures last week that I'd looked, which was purely from doing an Esau search on the words in him and through him. So every one of us has the resources that we can build ourselves these scriptures to meditate on and be secure in who we are. But I do want to read you from an email that I was received this week, which was sent to a load of ministers. And it was written by Susan Donnelly, which she calls Timeless Treasures. And she was talking about how death and life are in the power of atom. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And she gave this lovely list of things for us to declare of who we are, who I am, what God says I am. So what does God say I am? God says, I am his child. Forgiven. This is what God says. Now, again, we can, as I said last week, there's a difference between knowing and believing. And I'll go on to remind you about that. But in him, I am his child, forgiven of all my sins, a new creature, the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am delivered from the power of darkness, redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. I am strong in the Lord, holy and without blame before him. Accepted in Christ. I am blessed, qualified to share in his inheritance, victorious, dead to sin, I am set free, loved with an everlasting love, crucified with Christ, alive with Christ. I am his faithful follower, the light of the world, the salt of the earth, one with Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, seated in heavenly places with Christ. I am God's workmanship, a partaker of his divine nature, beloved of God. I am more than a conqueror, an ambassador for Christ, the apple of his eye. I can do all things through Jesus Christ. I have everlasting life, abundant life. I have the mind of Christ and peace with God. I know his voice. I show forth his praise. I always triumph in Christ. I live by his spirit. I mean, what an amazing list of truths about who we are. Question is, do we believe it? We read it. We think, oh, yeah, that's lovely. But do we really believe it? So, yeah, we looked at the difference between knowing and believing, and we can know all these truths about God's word. But unless we're believing rightly about it, it's not going to come to pass for us. We're not going to see it come. If it's only knowledge, this difference between knowing God's truth and believing it. Every one of us, I said this last week, every one of us knows God's word. We know how to interpret it, rightly divide it. We understand it. We have the knowledge. Are we believing it? Are we taking that step from just knowing to believing? We looked at how faith was the noun. We have been given the gift of faith. That's Ephesians 2:8-9, isn't it? A gift, which is the gift of God, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And we've been given the measure of faith, which is Romans 12:3. And we have the faith of the Son of God, Galatians 2:20. So faith is the essence, the thing, the noun, the actual thing that we have received. Believing is the verb. Believing is the outworking of what is on the inside of us. Sean read this morning from Ephesians chapter 1. As he was reading, something jumped out at me that I hadn't seen before. Paul's talking about the prayers he's saying for the Ephesians. He says, "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." There's knowing and there's believing. So how do we go from knowing to believing? We need to allow God's word to change that inner picture of who we are, who he is, and of the potential that there is in our lives. And we close our eyes and we see God's word. We see things differently. We see the victory that imagine a situation that's dire. And then imagine it completely turned around and imagine the victory coming in that situation. And if we will change that picture in our minds from defeat to victory, that's going from knowing to believing. And then we can take steps to see that come to pass. We can speak, we can declare, we can bind and loose, we can do everything that we know to do. Once we've got that vision in our minds of how it can be, the victory that can come, we see things in our minds, we use our imagination, and it changes our anticipation of things. It changes our expectation of things. And it changes our future. When we see God's word, see the potential of God's power in us to change a situation, when we believe it because we see it as a possibility, and not only a possibility, but a probability, there's power in that, and we can see God's power move in our lives. 1 John 15, verse 13, I read last week, which says, "These things have I written unto you that believe." Remember that? He says, "I've written this unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life and that you might believe." So he's speaking to believers, but he says, "I'm saying this to you who believe so that you can know and believe." So we can have that understanding, we can have that knowledge. He wants us to have knowledge so that we can believe. Knowledge is just the beginning. Then there's believing and seeing things change. Actually, when I watched the sermon last week, I noticed that I used the word believing when I meant knowing. And it's like we've begun to use these two words interchangeably in Christianity, this knowing and believing. Goes, yes, I believe that. Well, actually, maybe you don't believe it. What you do is you know it, but then there's a difference in believing. So knowing and believing are not necessarily interchangeable. We've looked at 1 John 5:13 and John 10, verse 38, Jesus talking about them believing on the works that he did. He says, "If I do the works, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Again, just this difference between knowing and believing. And seeing things differently, seeing the potential, going from something that's negative, depressing, to something that's positive and encouraging. And I was trying to think of an example of this in my own life. And I remember the story of how I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because before I knew about God's grace, I honestly couldn't tell you what I was believing or even what I knew. All I knew was that I was a sinner, and I felt that keenly, and I felt totally unworthy of being God's child. And that affected my whole life, my whole Christian experience. I could not have a close relationship with God because I felt so unworthy. And so for me, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I just thought, forget it. There's no way I'm good enough to ever receive that. That's for the super saint. That's for somebody who's made it. That's for somebody who can live super holy and be amazing. That's for somebody who's a prayer warrior and who's just got this amazing Christian life. That's not for me. I'm just not worthy. So that was my mindset. That was my whole identity. And it made me very sad, made me very unhappy, very depressed. But that was my lot in life as a Christian, to just be in this condition of unworthiness. And hopefully, when I get to heaven, God won't be too harsh on me and will let me in, kind of thing. And then I heard about God's grace. And for me, it was my dad died. There's a scripture in Isaiah that says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his glory filled the temple. And for me, when my father died, he was the King Uzziah of my life, in that after he died, my life changed. It was nothing to do with him, it was just the timing of it. But after he died, we were exposed to Andrew Womack's teaching on grace. And my mum had ordered the Christian Survival Kit. Came as cassettes. It was 16 cassettes in this big fold-out case. And she had gone off to America to see her sister for 6 weeks, and then this thing arrived. So we had this. So I had my Walkman, and I had the tapes, and I plugged in. I had my Walkman on, and I tell you, I had those on all day, every day. I had it on at work. I had my headphones on, my headphones like this, with one ear off, so that I could hear what was going on at work, but also I was plugged in. When I was at home, the kids were watching TV. I don't know what was on, America's Next Top Model or some drivel like that. I was plugged in. I was plugged into God's word, listening. And I heard the truth. I heard the truth that God is not holding my sin against me, that I'm not a sinner, I'm a saint, that I am worthy. Because I've been made worthy. It's nothing to do with me and me being unworthy. Jesus has made me worthy. So when I heard that, I thought, maybe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for me. So I start looking at that. And then I see the scripture that says that God, you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So I thought, right, I'm going to ask him. So I got my pastor at the time and somebody else prayed for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I did. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I did not pray in tongues. There was no tongues. But you know, I wasn't upset. I wasn't dismayed because I thought, I've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That means I do speak in tongues. I do. Because I have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I know I do. Now, there was nothing coming out of my mouth. There was no evidence of the fact that I speak in tongues. But God's word says I do. So I know I do. And I didn't just know it. I believed it. I believe I speak in tongues. I believe I do. Now, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, I think around August. And it wasn't until the end of October, beginning of November, when I actually woke myself up praying in tongues. So I was dreaming about speaking in tongues. And then it came. And when it came, it was, you know, I didn't run around the room in excitement. I just thought, I knew it. I knew it. I knew I did. I did speak in tongues. So there was this terrible, negative, awful depression, this terrible lie that I was burdened under. It wasn't, there was no truth in that at all. But then when truth came, then came the faith to believe that that was for me and to see it come to pass in my own life. There's a difference between knowing and believing. It's believing is the thing. Believing is the thing that makes it manifest. We've talked a lot about truth. Knowing the truth, it's so important to know the truth. Absolutely. I mean, what I was believing was a lie. But when I knew the truth, that was it. I had a track to run on and I could believe. And so what we believe is going to determine how much of God's truth we do see coming to pass in our lives. It's all dependent on what we believe. These things I've written unto you that believe, so that you may know and believe. And then that's 1 John 5:13. Then he goes on to say this. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. So he says, I want you to know this, and I want you to believe this, so that it gives you confidence. Confidence. This is 1 John 5, 13, 14, 15. He says, I want you to know, and I want you to believe, to give you confidence, so that when you ask the Lord, you know you've already got it. Like Vic was praying over the offering this morning, talking about the work in India. We have a roof to build on this property. We've seen it by faith. We've seen it. I can see it up there. I can look up, and in my imagination, I can see it there. I can see it above what's already there. At the moment, there's this lovely decorative panel bit on the front, this sort of gate bit, and above that I can see the roof of over the feeding station for the education center. I can see it. And so we say, Lord, I thank you, I can see it there. Lord, would you give us the funding to do that? Now I've asked him, so I've got it. Amen. I have the money now. We know that we have the petitions we desire of him. Now that I know the money's there, I can thank him every day. I can say, thank you, Lord, that that money is there. and I call it in. That's what I do. I call it in. I call in that money. I speak to the hearts of every person who's going to be giving into this, that they'll have a heart for this project, and that they'll be, and that the money is going to come in. Thank you, Lord, that the money is here. I already have it. I believe that. I call it in. So I believe that I already have it. I know I have it. I believe I have it. And then I'll have it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You see how that mindset works? And it's the same with healing. Healing is not out there somewhere. You know, healing is in us. We have it. So thank you, Lord, that I have my healing. Thank you, Lord, I have my healing. I release that healing into my body. I know I have it. It's not something that we're waiting for God to give us. We've already got it. So then it's learning how to pray, how to think, how to believe, to stay in that place of knowing that we know that we know that we believe that we already have it. There's this interesting phrase in verse 14 there. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, that's a big issue for a lot of people. Is it God's will? Is it God's will? That's when we need to know the word. We need to know the word and be able to rightly divide the word. And the biggest scripture, which is a small scripture, that we can stand on for a lot of things is 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish, I desire above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Now, health and prosperity are two of the main issues for most of us. We want health. We need health. We want to be healthy. There's something wrong. We need to be well. And when it comes to finances, we want to be blessed so that we can give into every good work. We want to see this roof built. You know, we need finances. We need to know that it's God's will to prosper us and to bless us. And prosperity, of course, isn't just financial. There's a prosperity in relationships. You know, God desires for our relationships to be whole and healthy. And if there's issues in relationships, there's issues in marriage. You know, Andrew talks about this when he used to have women come to him and start railing on their husbands. He's this, he's that, he's awful, he's whatever. And Andrew said, the point is, that's just so focused on the negative. Let's close our eyes and see the man we want him to be. See the man we want him to be, and let that be the vision and that be the expectation. And any relationship, whatever it is, kids, in-laws, neighbors, work colleagues, if we can see on the inside how it can be different, what it can look like, and believe that that is potential, knowing that it is God's will for us to be blessed in our relationships and prosperous in every area of life. That's God's will. That is his will. There are people who don't know it's God's will. For example, in healing, people don't know that it's God's will. And they've been told that there is some redemptive purpose in this sickness, that God is teaching us something through a sickness. And so there's no resistance. There's an acceptance of that. And I think when that person then eventually does succumb to that illness and dies and gets before the Lord, you know, what's he going to say? You know, actually, darling, I did want you well. My healing was there for you. You know, for those of us who are believing for healing and don't quite make it, don't quite see it happening, and we get before the Lord is not going to say, well, actually, I had some redemptive purpose in that. And even though you weren't ever able to see my redemptive purpose through the word, I always hoped that perhaps you might see the redemptive purpose through this sickness. God is never going to say that. I tell this, I've told you the story before, maybe you won't remember it, but when we had our shop outside the front door, we had a flower pot, a half barrel with plants in it. And we turned up to work one day, and there was a coffee mug on the ground behind the flower tub. And we saw it there, and we thought, how did that get there? And we started saying, oh, maybe what happened, maybe it was this, maybe somebody did this and that. Oh, but actually, maybe it was that other thing. It could have been this that happened. Or maybe this and that happened. And the thing about that is, we would never ever have guessed what it was. And if we did, we would never have known that that's what it was. And for me, that's kind of like this redemptive purpose that God has. How can we ever know what that is? We could speculate, we could think God said this, that maybe God said that, but we can never, ever know. And to me, that's why that makes no sense. God has no redemptive purpose in sickness. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, which included sickness. There is no blessing in sickness. Sickness is a curse. We see that in the Old Covenant. The list of curses that God gave us, sickness is in the whole list of different things. The itch, the botch, whatever, you know, all these things that are in there. It's a curse. It's a curse, sickness. There's no blessing on it at all. And in fact, in the Psalms, it says that God's blessing adds no sorrow with it. Now, how many people do we know who are sick, who are full of sorrow? You know, sickness is not fun. It's not a blessing. Being weak, being in pain, it's not being in bed bound. It's not fun. Nobody enjoys it. It's not a blessing. God wants us to be blessed, but we need to know that, and not only know it, but believe it. Believe it, because if we believe that, when sickness does come upon us, we can fight confidently, knowing that He is for us in that fight, that we are more than conquerors. He always causes us to triumph. So many scriptures that we can draw on and declare and believe to overcome something like sickness. Matthew 11:23, I use a lot. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, or all whosoever, whosoever, so it's not the super saint, it's not the super spiritual, it's not the prayer warrior, it's not the, you know, the super duper over here. Therefore, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Shall not doubt. That word doubt means to separate thoroughly. You know, unbelief separates us from the promises of God, separates us from the power that we can expect to see. We need to believe God's word, to believe it, to change the image on the inside of us, to change what we're seeing, to change what we're thinking, to what God says is the potential in any situation in life. So think about Abraham. And Paul talks about him. He says in Romans 4:18, says that Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. And I thought, what does that mean? Who against hope believed in hope? And I think what that means is that in the natural, there was no hope. So where there was no hope, he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not, that's doubted. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. I mean, that's powerful. Here we've got an old man with an old wife who refused to look at the natural circumstances, but stood firmly on what God had said to him. And in his mind, he saw himself father of many nations. I was interested in what Andrew Womack said about this. passage of scripture. I want to read it to you. He says, there was no hope in the natural for Abraham or his wife Sarah. They were both as good as dead when it came to having children at their age. Therefore, they rejected the natural and believed God with a supernatural hope. There's a natural hope that everyone has, and there's a supernatural hope that is imparted by God. To receive miracles, we have to reject the limitations of natural hope and press on to obtain God's supernatural hope through faith. I love that. To receive miracles, and not even miracles, really, to receive anything from God, anything according to what his word says, which I suppose is miraculous because it's not to do with the natural. But to receive miracles, to receive from God, we have to reject the limitations of natural hope. Yeah. That's powerful. And that's a choice. That is a choice. No, I refuse. I refuse to accept the limitations of the natural. I am pressing on. I don't care how bad this situation is. It's not as bad as Abraham and Sarah being in their 90s and expecting to have a child. Nothing is as hopeless as that. And because of that, I refuse to see natural hope. I'm going to press on and believe what God says, that he wants me blessed. He wants me prosperous in every area. And I'm going to believe that. If we're going to be successful in seeing God's word come in our lives, this is what we have to do. Reject the natural limitations. Reject the limitations of the natural. Because God has given us access to the power of heaven. Sean read that scripture this morning. I've just read it again now. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Our part is to believe. God has done it all for us. Every one of us, as I say, every one of us knows God's word. We know it well. There's so much of it that we understand. We interpret it rightly, divide it. We know it. But Mark chapter 4 talks about the word, and it talks about how when we receive the word, different things will come at it to try and stop it from having its effect in our lives. Let's have a look at Mark chapter 4. Which is the parable of the sower. And Jesus has spoken he's given the parable. So there's the first ground. The sower sows the seed and the fowls of the air devour it. Then some fell on the stony ground, which had not much earth, and it sprang up, but there was no depth of earth, and it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and those thorns choked it. Another fell on good ground. So we are all the ground for the word. Every one of us has the word coming into our heart. And then Jesus says this. He says in verse 9, he says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. He wants us to hear what is the benefits and things to look out for when we're sowing the word. So in verse 14, he says, the sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. In Matthew, it says, because they understood not the word. So this is the importance of understanding. But once we've received any of God's word, Satan will try and take it from us. He comes. There's these things that come in after the word has been sown. Every time it's after the word has been sown in your heart, sown in our hearts, something will come and try and stop that word from developing. Firstly, it can be stolen from us. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So we can understand the word and receive the word, but then all this negative stuff will come at us and try and take us away from the truth of God's word. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So there's all this, everything trying to come against the word of God in us. We need to learn to rise above all of that and keep believing that what God says is true, and believe it, not just know it as truth, but believe it. The word becomes fruitful in us when we believe that over everything else, rejecting every limitation of the natural and pressing in to see his word come to pass, and then consequently to bear fruit in our lives. God says, what Jesus says there, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear the dangers that will come against the word, and be ready to resist them. Be ready to resist them by believing God's word over all those things. And in Ephesians 1, Paul says there that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Let's see into the heavenlies, see into the spiritual realm, that the power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is in us, to see our circumstances change if we will believe God's word and speak over them. God's will for us is to be blessed and to prosper us, and it comes through believing his word and declaring his word in our lives, exalting his word above every other situation, circumstance, and experience. What he says is truth, and when we believe it, it's powerful. And it makes changes. It changes our anticipation. It changes our expectation. And it changes our future when we believe it. So God's will is for us to have all these things, all these blessings. He's provided everything for us. We talk about this table of provision. It's all there for us. We have all the resources to make changes in our physical realities. Now, it will take time. A seed takes time. And we don't know how it works. We don't know how declaring God's word makes the heavenly realm respond to make change. We don't understand how that works. But the parable of the sower, he goes on to say that the farmer sows the seed, and he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow. He knows not how. We don't need to know how. We don't need to know the science of what is going on in the heavenly realm when we speak God's word. All we need to believe is that it's powerful. It's powerful and it works. It works. God's word works when it's believed. That's the important thing, to believe his word over everything else and to see the physical change. But of course, to see the physical change, we need to see the physical change. We need to close our eyes and see things how we want them to be, the potential that there is there. And then pray into that, say, yes, Lord, that's there. That's what I want. That's what I'm believing for. That's what your word says I can have. I call that in. I call that thing whatever. So we need to hear God's word, know it as truth, and believe it. And we need to see it. We need to make the changes in our minds to see these things as the physical reality, casting down the natural limitations. I love that. I think that's really powerful. Casting down the natural limitations. So my encouragement to you is to take God's word. it's for yourselves, and I know we all do this, but for those perhaps watching online, you know, this is my teaching to you. But you can go to your own word. You can go and get Strong's. You can download Strong's Concordance on your device. So you've got the Bible app on your device. You can use that. You can do a word search. You can do a word study. It's what I did with In Him, Through Him. You know, do a word search. Get into the word. All those scriptures I read from, all those I ams that I read in that email, they are based on scriptures. You know, we know the word. We know these things. We have got the knowledge and the technology to do the search, to do the study, to create scriptures, to build truth that we can believe, that God wants us to be blessed. I was just thinking about particular situation, and sometimes the word says things. I don't want to be too specific. I was thinking about family relationships, and how there can be issues. And sometimes Jesus says, there's going to be this issue. There's going to be this situation will arise. And that is not, that's, he's not saying that's the limit, that's it, there's nothing you can do about it. And in fact, when he says that, what he's saying is, I am now here to overcome that. You can pray into that. You can declare into that resolution in relationships and see change come to pass. So whatever it is we need, God's word is the answer. God's word is truth. And we need to know that truth and then believe it above every circumstance. And that is what will make the change in our lives. So whatever you need today, whatever your desire of your heart is, know his will for you. Know that it is his will to prosper and bless you. It's his will to have deep fellowship with you. You know, for example, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is for every believer. There is no one who is excluded. Every one of us can benefit from all that God has done. So whatever you need, change your vision of the problem from being a problem to seeing it resolved, to see how different it could be. Interference is the wrong word. What would God's impact in this situation look like? If God's word entered into the situation, what would it look like? See the resolution, see the benefit, see the blessing, and let that be the image, that be the picture in our minds. And then thank God that's what we now have. We have it now. And then keep speaking blessing over that situation every day until you see it change. God's word is so powerful. God is for us, not against us. So we need to know his word first and foremost, and then choose to believe it over every other thing, to see his power exalted over every natural limitation, and not be bound, not be constrained, but to be free, to declare his power and his truth in every situation. So, Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that it is truth, and your truth makes us free. And when we believe your truth, it's powerful. So, Father, I pray that each one of us will learn more and more, not just to know the truth, but to believe it, to declare it, and to see it come to pass in every situation. So we thank you and praise you, Lord, for all that you have done for us through Jesus, that you have given us this incredible gift, that we don't have to just submit to the natural circumstances, but that in you, Lord, we are more than conquerors, that you always cause us to triumph, because of your power in us, making changes in these circumstances. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We declare every situation resolved because of your power working through us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for this amazing, wonderful salvation that you've brought us into. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we're going to take communion together. Just let's just stay focused on the Lord in a place of just real thankfulness. Thankfulness to Jesus, because it's only through him that we have this. It's only in Jesus that we have this incredible access to the kingdom of God. It's all through Jesus. And his death, his resurrection, and him sending the Holy Spirit has totally empowered us to live supernatural lives. We do not have to be caterpillars crawling. We can be butterflies, just totally, totally flying in the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What an amazing salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't only saved us, but you've given us so much, made us righteous, given us your Holy Spirit, given us access to the kingdom of God. It's just so much, Lord, that you've poured out on us. The salvation would have been the blessing enough, but for you to have poured out all the rest onto us, Lord, is just incredible. We are so grateful to you, Lord. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you went to that cross for us, that you gave your body for us so that we could be healed and whole. With your stripes, we are healed. Because of all that you've done, we can know health and wholeness in our physical bodies. So thank you, Jesus, for your body. And thank you, Jesus. That you shed your blood for us.
Amen.
That your blood was poured out. That it was an acceptable offering to the Lord to pay the price of the sin of the whole world. Thank you, Jesus, that every one of us was included in that gift of your blood. Thank you. Thank you for the salvation and for all that has meant that we can enter into. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for your blood poured out. Amen.
Amen.
So we do thank you, Lord, so much for all that you've given us, and especially your word, Lord, so that we can know about you, so we can know the truth, be made free by the truth and believe that truth and see it change our lives, Lord. So we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we have all our usual meetings this week, although I don't know if Stuart's back. So, but somebody will send a link for a meeting tomorrow night. I don't know if that'll be you or Vic. Sean. Okay. Okay, great. Thanks, Sean. So the link will come out this afternoon for tomorrow night. And then we've got Thursday night's Bible study and communion. And then Saturday morning, back to communion on Saturday morning. And then back here for fellowship and the sermon next week. So thanks for joining us. You've been watching online. God bless you and see you again soon.
Amen.